Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Yeah, that's just how it goes, it seems. But we are going to talk about something today. It's going to be a little bit of a reminder. I think we were due for a reminder of something, you know, because there's times where we forget. I don't know if you're like me, you forget things, where the keys are, what plans your wife made for you after church, all sorts of things that I forget. Where did I put that cell camera? Things like that, because then it's like, well, you better find that. Anyway, but this is a reminder for us. It's important because I think it's the base, it's the root of everything. And I think that there's times where from this base and this root that gets planted in us, okay, the seed that's planted in us, there's many different ways that it branches off. And there's a lot of ways that we can go wrong. A lot of ways. That's why there's only one way to the Father, right? There's only one way. So all the other ways are wrong, okay? We're not pluralistic, right? There's one way to the Father. And sometimes when we get into the faith, we experience salvation, or maybe we didn't even experience salvation. We were just given a very lukewarm prosperity gospel message that we started to, well, I believe in God, so then I'm part of it, and didn't understand what the severity actually was in the given situation, as well as moving forward, what our relationship with God is supposed to look like. And it all starts with the seed being planted. And it's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's John 3:16, right? But the root of this, the root of it is God so loved you and I. It's this love that comes in because we needed this. We sang the song today, God, I need you now. The thing is that sometimes we sing the song and we don't realize just how much we actually need God. We forget. Why? Because we live in America. And I know the news and certain loudmouth people like to say how awful America is, but the reality is most of you, after church today, already have lunch plans. There's other places that don't get that. There's a lot of things you got to wake up tomorrow and go to work. You have the opportunity to do that. We forget how blessed we are in this country that we are in, that most of our needs are taken care of. And the thing is, in our Christian faith, the two blend together. The nationalism and the faith blend together. And all of a sudden, because we don't really have worries in life, like, I thought about this last week. This absolutely drove me nuts, Joe. Like, I wanted to put my head through a wall. Because you come across these videos where these, oh, man, I hate owning this, but people of my generation. Oh, it hurts me to say that because I get lumped in with them. But, like, people of my generation are even younger, and it's like they're talking about, oh, I got to make a phone call, and they're just freaking out. Because they got to make a phone call. I'm like, you're 20-something and you're afraid to make a phone call? There was 18-year-olds storming the beaches of Normandy. Like, what are you talking about? What anxiety do you feel? What are you talking about? And we're afraid to make a phone call? There ain't bullets flying past my head that I know of today. Scan the room. We'll make sure. Depends on what I say. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just baffled by this and the things that in our country, in our world, to an extent, that we have so much comfort and carefreeness that you look at the complaint culture of the world and in America, and we're complaining about things that our blessings. I mean, I was in an apartment with my wife after we got married with two dogs, and I was annoyed. You got to realize something. Me and my wife had a lot of growing to do when we got married and learning, mostly me. Just kidding. I'm not going to lie. It actually takes both to learn. The stigma that men are the ones that have to learn when they get married is baloney. But both of us had a lot to learn. And we got married, went into winter where there's not a lot to do. I don't have very many hobbies in the winter, so we're just locked inside. We're both going stir crazy, and all of a sudden, spring, yay, COVID lockdown. So then we're trapped in the house for even the, oh, dude, we were at each other's throats. Okay, and the dogs in there, too, and it's just this shaggy carpet, and you just, duh. And then all of a sudden, we're able to buy a house in the crazy housing market, and we get it for way less than what it was worth because they didn't want to list it, all these things, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It was an answer to prayer. We were pregnant with Pharaoh, and we needed a house. We needed something to do. But come on, we need a place to go. But the amount of times that my wife has caught me complaining about that stinking house, that light fixture, oh, this light switch ain't working, oh, the plug is leaking again, is oh, no, nah. This stupid house. The thing I prayed for, I'm complaining about. The blessing that came in. See, when this seed gets planted, the seed gets planted sometimes. There's lots of ways that it can go. And we can get lost to the left and to the right. And in our comfort mentality, we forget that the love of God rescued us from damnation. We forget just how at stake we are every single day. We forget that our soul is at risk. We forget that we are dry bones. We forget that we are failures. We forget that we are nothing. We forget how worthless we are because we are in a culture that wants to tell you that everybody's worth something, that you're great the way you are, and you can really do something. Go get it. Believe it, and you can achieve it. And all this stuff. And we forget just how low we are, how lost we are. The stakes are high, that you and I are lost and sinners and need to be saved by grace. And that grace only came from the love of God. That is a love that changes everything. Because when we lose sight of what was at stake and forget how strong the love of God is, we forget how to act. You ever seen it? The parents that came from nothing and built wealth, and then their kids, dirty, rotten, spoiled. You've seen it. If not, you've seen the movie where that happens. You've seen it. See, when we forget what was at stake, what the cost was, when we forget how to act. We forget our manners. We forget the way we're supposed to live our life. All of this, we forget how to act. And so there's this love that came in and saved us. God loved the world, so he gave his perfect son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you and I, because the penalty of sin is death. Now, all of us are going to die, but there's somewhere we go after, and that is what's at stake. That is what the cost is that Jesus died a death he did not deserve. Did not deserve for you and I to take our place. And when we accept that love and understand that love and really allow it to change and permeate through our life, and we are reminded every single day that I'm going to talk about me, I'm not going to talk about you, but I am dumb. I am a minuscule little ant. I'm doing wonders for your self-esteem, I know. But to be honest, I don't care. Because it's our built-up self-esteem that is keeping us from understanding and living the way that we are supposed to. We are supposed to walk humbly. We are supposed to understand that we needed saving. You couldn't do it on your own. You never could. Never. I don't want to hear what you've done in your life. I don't care. I don't. It's the love of God that comes in and changes everything for us. It changes the situation, which then changes who we are and how we live and how we act. It doesn't mean that we're all of a sudden perfect, because Paul actually writes about this in Romans. He talks about how the law shows him what is wrong. So now he loves what is right, but the sin within him keeps doing what is wrong. And he's trying to reconcile this. He's talking about this, that he loves what is right. He loves God. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to serve him. But he keeps doing what is wrong. The sin in him. He's talking about how the law makes us aware. And he loves the law. And he loves what the law says because he knows that it's pleasing and honoring to God. But he just keeps doing the wrong thing. And this is not the situation of, that he also talks about, that we go on sinning so grace may abound. It says, do not do that. You think about it like, well, if I keep on sinning, that means that I keep getting grace. And grace is awesome. Feels really good. No, we don't continuously sin so that we can keep, so grace may abound. We don't. That's not what we're to do. Because God loving us, we can now love him in return. And now the relationship begins. It's like when you get married, you're not supposed to keep seeing other people. I mean, even when you're dating, you probably shouldn't do that. But marriage is a little more final. So that's why I said that. But No. That's not how it works. And so understanding how then love comes in to our life, because I don't know about you, but sin is a struggle. Sin is a struggle. There's some things, each one of you in here, you have a different battle. Some of you have your Achilles heel. That one thing, that one person, that one habit, that one situation, that one thing, whatever it is, that just it seems like it's just never going away. It just seems like it's this giant struggle. And I want you to know something. To struggle pursuing after who God has called you to be, to struggle with, oh, I sinned, God, I need you. I need you now. I need your forgiveness. I need your repentance. That is different than I sinned and I'm okay with it. There's a difference between repentant sin that is a struggle and a hardship versus sin that I've justified. The only justification for sin is Jesus on the cross. He wipes it all out. And it's understanding that in this situation, that this love of God, I mean, it comes in, and now I get to be a new creation. I have a new opportunity. I get to move forward in my life. I am a sinner saved by grace, not just a sinner. And we need to understand this love. That's the seed that's being planted in all of us. And when we forget that love and the depth of that love, because there is no earthly love that matches. None. None. I had one college professor that he just said the guarantees in life is that everything and everyone will fail you at one point or another. Every establishment, every pastor, every person is going to fail you, but God won't. That's the reality. There is no perfect person other than Jesus. And so understanding that is the love that we can share with one another. The only way that I can love you the way Christ loved you is if I accept that love into my life. If I have that love. Scripture tells us that if God is not in a man, he does not know love, because God is love. And so we cannot love with the passion and the depth and the unconditionalism, that's a word, that is God's love, unless we know it and experience it and have it in our own life. See, as Christians, we're getting caught up with a whole lot of other things. We are getting distracted. Like I said, that seed getting planted, salvation, God's love, grace, mercy, it's being planted. And then from there, when it grows, blossoms, whatever, we can go awry. And pretty soon, there's branches hanging off that don't got no leaves on them. That was great English. Thank you, Josh. Needed that. Because there's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Some of you in here know what that's like. You're hospitable. You welcome people into your home. You got to get the full spread. I am notorious for when I have guys over, I make food to feed 1,000. There is leftover foods, and I am sending you food home. Like, it's just the way that it goes. I always end up getting too much food. I remember I was having guys over to watch something, and I ordered Chinese food. And you order over the phone, and you don't know the size of what they're giving you. You don't. Like, it's to go. I don't know. Okay, so two of those, I guess. One of those, two of those, three of those. Oh, that's good. Four. Okay, sounds good. Be there. I get there, China Fan Town, and I'm standing there. I'm like, man, I thought this order was going to be ready. Now all of a sudden there's a lineup of people behind me. And I'm like, what are we waiting for? What is going on? All of a sudden, the guy comes out with a box. Sets it down. And I'm like, oh, thanks, pay up. And I grab the box. And then all of a sudden, he comes back out with a second box. I was like, oh. Good to know, I guess, that this is the same. This is your entree sizes. I did not know when I ordered this over the phone. But see, it's welcoming people in your home. I don't know if you're like me, but all day long, your mind cannot get over the fact of, like, you're preparing for what's to come. It was like when my mom had holidays were coming, you should probably just stay at a hotel. Just get out of the house. There's, you know, hey, mom, where's the, hey, I'm making stuff. I'm doing something. You know what I mean? Now, my mom is a gracious woman. I love her so much. I'm not trying to throw her under the bus. But we all get that way. I get that way. Now, imagine if Jesus is coming in. Whoa. Different ball game. I don't even know. I don't know. I'd be pretty embarrassed, actually, to have him into my house. But anyway, Martha's welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. The seed has been planted in all of us. And all of a sudden, as a Christian, we hear the teachings, and all of a sudden we're learning about all these other things that Christians do in our lifestyle, and all of a sudden we're getting worried about the details and we forget what matters. The only thing to be concerned about, because when we spend time at his feet, guess what? When it is time to host, you're going to know how to do it. You can't learn how to do it and then come to his, Jesus was gone by then. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is leaving you. I'm talking about in this scenario. By the time Martha's done with everything, it's time to eat, and then it's time to go. She missed the chance to sit at his feet and hear his teaching. Don't get caught up in the details of all these extra things and all this other stuff, you need to remember where we are supposed to be, and it is at the feet of Jesus. It is to experience his love. And when we understand that love, when we experience that, I'm telling you, this is coming from a place of when we spend time in his word and spend time in his worship, and we are overwhelmed by the love of God. How often are we spending time in that place? Or are you worried about the details? You're worried about everything else going on in life. You're focused on the next thing or the other thing, or, well, you know, I want to tread carefully because I don't want to encourage you to do something you're not supposed to, but it is good to join together with people in the faith. It is good to sit down and talk about God's word. It is good to do that. But you should not be spending more time with Christians than you do with Jesus. There's a reason why Jesus went alone to seek and pray. I'm not saying that we are meant to be isolated. I don't believe in that. I'm not giving you any pass for your introverted lifestyle. You are meant to join together with believers. You are meant to gather together and not give that up. You are meant to bond with one another and be bonded together in holy unity with God's peace and his love, and it joins us all together. Absolutely, but there is a time and a place to go and seek the Lord and to spend time in his love. And if we are not doing that regularly, understanding his love, the depth of his love, what his love has done for us, we will be defective Christians. We will be defective. You'll be worried about the details. Martha, she opened her home to him. Some of you have opened your heart to him, but you spend no time with him. You need to be at the feet of Jesus. Speaking of early days of marriage, this story just popped in my head. It was in the apartment days, like I kind of said, when we were early married, and I invited some guys over to watch a movie. And we were hanging out, we're watching this movie, but then I get a phone call from somebody who shot a deer. They're like, need help tracking it, and if you gut it, we'll let your wife come out here and hunt. I was like, hey guys, you can stay, finish the movie, I gotta go. I did, 100%. Are you kidding me? Tracking a deer and gutting a deer, I would do that 100 times over watching one movie. That is one of my favorite things to do. Are you kidding me? Anyway, so my wife is there hanging out in her room or doing whatever. I mean, the apartment was small, so there's only a couple of rooms. So she was in her room watching something. I leave four of my friends who I invited over to go track a deer and gut it and come back, and they're gone. Priorities, man. Anyway, but I think they all understood. I don't know, but some of us, we invite Jesus in, but we don't spend time with him. We get distracted with the details. We get distracted with what we think he wants us to do. Martha thought preparing this big, huge dinner and making everything perfect was what was going to be honoring to Jesus. No, Jesus wants us in relationship with him to experience love and to show love back, and to be at his feet. And it changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we act. It changes the way that we do things. We cannot claim to love God and not love one another. Scripture's clear. If I have hate towards my brother, I do not love God. It's just one of the things that demonstrates that. And so when we forget about spending time at the feet of Jesus and experiencing his love and just accepting this relationship and understanding that this is just who I'm with, This is who I serve. I just want to talk to you. I want to be with you. One of my favorite things that I do, me and my wife were talking about this last week, and it's not meant to replace anything, but she asked me, like, what does your time with the Lord look like? And I said, to be honest, it's throughout the day. It's when I'm driving to work or driving somewhere, or if I go for a walk, or if it's hunting season, it's when I'm in the tree stand or ground blind or whatever, and I'm talking to God like I'm talking to a friend. Some of you know, you go for a walk with somebody and your lips move faster than your legs. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm just driving. I literally talk out loud like I'm talking to a friend in the front seat, but I'm talking to God. Now, this doesn't replace, you know, praying on behalf of other people or asking him to speak to me and say certain things, and it doesn't replace my time in his word and devotional time and all of that. But I'm telling you that this is the relationship aspect of God and understanding that it all stems from this love. And when we forget to spend time in him loving us, when we forget about that, and the depth of it, we're going to miss out on so much. We're going to miss out on so much. I always relate things back to my marriage, mostly because my marriage has taught me so much about my relationship with God. And so I've referenced my marriage a lot throughout this message. Well, I'm going to reference it one more time. I remember my wife would come up with to-do lists, things to do around the house, like chore type stuff, but then also things that she wants to do for fun as a family, and then things that we need to do, just there's lots of to-do lists. And I remember hitting stride where I'm like, oh, work is going good. We're doing the to-do list. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're just in flow state. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I go to talk to her, and she's like, I just don't really feel close. And I'm like, what? I said, we're doing everything on the list. Typical. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. But I'm like, what are you talking? And she's like, but we haven't gone on a date in a while. We haven't, like, sat and talked. Like, how are you doing? What is going on? And this proceeded to demonstrate to me that in marriage, you need to do that as well as all the things on the to-do list. And then, have you napped and had a snack? All right, we're ready to go. No, I'm just kidding. All this stuff that comes together and understanding that God and our relationship with him has so many facets and things that we're to do, and there's things that we can do and enjoy and talk to him and do all this stuff, but we cannot forget about the root, the seed that was planted, the very beginning of it all, and it is God so loved you. There's one last problem with this that we can have, is that we, for some reason, don't accept it, or we don't understand it, and we don't allow ourselves to be loved. Because in our world, in our mind, everything's transactional. I have to do so that I can get. I have to give you money so I get this, or I have to do this favor and then you do this favor, and then it's all transactional based. And guess what? That's seeped into marriages and friendships and relationships and all these different things, that all of a sudden everything becomes transactional. And so when we hear God loved us while we were still sinners, Scripture tells us, when we hear that, yeah, okay, cool. But it does not penetrate our heart. It doesn't penetrate the walls. It doesn't tear them down. It doesn't shatter them. We hear it, but we don't experience it. And this is something that, you know what, I don't have a be-all, end-all solution to, other than the fact of God loves you. He loved you at your lowest. He loved you while you were still a sinner and you turned your back on him and you maybe didn't even know about him. Or maybe you knew about him, but it wasn't what was important to you. While you were worshiping yourself, while you were worshiping that person, while you were doing everything wrong, while you were depressed, while you were anxious, while you stared in the mirror and wondered what was wrong with you. Am I too fat? Am I too skinny? Do I have a problem? Am I dumb? Literally, am I whatever it is? In those moments, God loved you. Where you felt like you weren't enough. When somebody degraded you and demeaned you so much that you questioned who you were and maybe even questioned whether you should be existing. God loved you. God loved you when he didn't even, I mean, he knows all, but before you were even born. He loved you and he gave his son for any who should believe in him. And understanding the depth, the cost, all of these things, experiencing that love, it's impossible not to be changed or inspired to change. That love that comes in, you get over yourself. Get over yourself. Don't think so highly of your past. Don't think so highly of your mistakes. Don't think so highly of other people's opinions of you that you remove yourself from experiencing the fullness of God's love. Don't do that. Somebody hurt you, somebody demeans you, somebody treated you poorly. That is not your worth. That is not your value. God set the value over you. There is no man that can take that away. I had a conversation with a brother in Christ once who was struggling, and he talked to me about how somebody he loved and cared about and had connection with to the deepest extent was saying some of the most hurtful things. Just rude, disrespectful, demeaning him, pushing him as far low as he could go. And you sit and talk to me, dude, I just don't know what to do. I said, just because somebody loves you on this earth, just because somebody loves you and you love them does not make everything they say true. But when we have that love and that connection, the vulnerability is there. So when somebody that you love says something, it can sting, it can hurt, it can rock you to your core. But it does not change what God has done or said or how he values you. It didn't change the cost. He still paid the price. It wasn't like, okay, over here's the really big cross for the sinners and then the little cross for the good guys that are kind of sinners. No, it was the same cross. It was the same beating. It was the same blood. It was the same penalty. Sin is sin. And that was what we all deserved. But God came in and he sent his son because he said, you are my son and you are my daughter. And I love you. And he will not let your value be questioned. He's not going to change his mind over how valuable you are to him. He loves you that much. So why are you letting yourself question it? Well, it's because you're not at the feet of Jesus. See, what we spend time with, what we spend time doing is what we're going to value. Martha, with her dinner and with her plans and her preparation, guess what? If somebody would have sat there and said, a little salty. Oh, what? I'm a good cook. What? Because she spent all of her time and all of her focus and everything, her dish, her dinner was the value. But when you spend time at the feet of Jesus and you in relationship and in love with him, nobody can change his value. Nobody can change that. Nobody can take that away. Nobody, this world for ages has been trying to disprove. They've been trying to say everything they can against God, against Jesus, and none of it has ever changed him. He is the same today as he was back then. So come to the feet of Jesus. Spend time at the feet of Jesus and allow that to permeate through your life and to change you. To change you. To experience the fullness of his love and his mercy is just, I need to get back to that. I need to get back to that. I do. Because it does. It changes the way you act. When you understand how much God loved you and gave up for you, all of a sudden you're going to look at that person next to you differently. You're going to look at them differently. And so then you will treat them differently. And all of a sudden you're going to look at the things that offend God, your lifestyle, the things that you've made peace with and you allow yourself to do because it's just easier and it's fun, it's relaxing, and it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you just keep on doing it, even though it's the exact things that hung him to the cross. When you understand the depth of it and experience his love, you're going to change. You're going to be different. Despite what somebody else said, despite what somebody else did, despite how angry you are with somebody. Because guess what? If you're here today and you've been a Christian for, I don't know, 30 minutes or longer, you've probably been hurt by a Christian. You've probably been hurt by somebody who calls themselves a Christian. Again, it does not change how much God loves you. Should it have happened? No. No, it shouldn't happen. You should not be hurt by somebody else in this room. But we're humans and we're imperfect. And it's one of the things about being on Noah's Ark together. Could you imagine that? No, I don't even want to. You think being overstimulated now. Imagine. Never mind. We don't need to go into the details, but that would be wild. You're just sitting there like this, smelling manure. You know what, honey? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just sorry. This whole vision in my head just went, that'd be a great skit. Bring back skits. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked now. But genuinely, we're going to get hurt by one another because we're all flawed and we're all messed up. Sinners saved by grace. It's not an excuse, but it's an understanding and a perspective. And just because somebody who is a Christian or claims to be a Christian or use scripture to manipulate and justify their hurt towards you doesn't mean they're right, doesn't make it right, doesn't excuse it. But love covers a multitude of sins. It all comes back to love. It all comes back to love. And how it changes our life. This is the love that the world cannot give, but it tries to replicate. But it just can't. It just can't. So go spend time at the feet of Jesus. Experience his love. Allow yourself to be loved by him to the deepest of your core. Somebody on this earth, guaranteed, they didn't value you the way that you were valued, the way that you should be valued. But you deserve to be valued at whatever. But the reality is none of that, even if they did do it right, is going to be the value that God sees you at and the price that he paid. Us husbands in here, we're called to love our wives like Christ loved the church, giving up ourselves for him. Guess what? We're not perfect. We try. But even us guys who know what we're supposed to do, it ain't easy. got to spend time in his love and in his presence and at the feet of Jesus to even understand this. Experience that love. Have it just fill me up. And allowing myself to feel the overwhelmed feeling of, I don't deserve this. Why do you love me like this, God? Why was I worth saving? I don't need an answer to that question, because he just looks at me and he says, I did. I saved you. Because I love you. And he's going to love you more than anybody else ever will. So be reminded today, or maybe you heard this for the first time. I'll tell you what. Don't stop spending time at the feet of Jesus. Don't get caught up with what you think he wants and your plans and the details and the fancy dinner. Just spend time at his feet.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.